you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I heard Chris gave me a topic last week to talk on that was something around the end times and specifically the four horsemen. Is that right? Thanks, Chris. Very good. But unfortunately, I don't really have time to cover that tonight. But if you would like to talk about anything Revelation or anything end times, anything for Chris will be here all night for you after the service. So feel free to head up to him. Write down your questions during the service and bring them up to him afterwards. He would love to answer all of those. Next week, we're going to hear all about the four horsemen. So come back for that. Very good. Let's pray to start. Come on. Father God, we thank you for this night. We thank you that we can't get to come together every single week on a Sunday. We get to dive into your word. We get to find out what you have got for us, Lord God. And Father, I pray that tonight as these words go forth, that it would not just be another night. It would not just be words that I have written down on paper, but Father God, it would be your word moving into our hearts so that we are able to head out of this place changed tonight. So Father, all glory be to your name. Have your way in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So just a quick catch up for those who weren't here 2 weeks ago. I did speak a message called Balanced, and we talked a lot about balance and the importance of having balance in our lives as God sees it. And tonight's message is kind of a follow-up, but it's not. You don't need to have been here for that to get what I'm going to say tonight, which is good. And we learnt two ideas about balance, Cass. Why do we need to have balance? Why do we need to maintain balance? Because number one is to keep the enemy at a distance. We want to maintain balance in our lives because every time we go, if we go out of balance, it gives room for the enemy to come and have his way in our lives. And number two is to allow God's calling, the opposite of that, to allow God's calling to be outworked in our lives. When things are in balance, I don't know about you, but if life gets so busy and we get asked to do one more thing, no matter who it's by, it's like, man, I just can't, life is too busy. It's kind of the same thing. If we are out of balance, it's like, and God comes in, hey, I want you to move in this area right now. Oh God, I'm just so busy. I'm out of balance at the moment. So it prevents us from doing that. If you remember, we had a couple of props and Jacob helped me out, which was great. But not with this one. This is the golf club. And we talked about balance regarding the golf club. And if you remember, if we hold the golf club in our hand, we can remain balanced. But the thing about it is we need to give constant correction with our hands when it comes to being balanced. Veronica's looking over there at this golf club and she's like, man, just swing it, Andy, just swing it. There you go, Veronica, there you go. I pick up a golf club and my hands get itchy, ready to play. So do yours. But the golf club balances because we make constant corrections. And the second part is because we actually are able to look not down at our hand, but we look up at the head of the golf club, that we can actually make this thing balance. And it's as we look up to God and we look to what He is saying that we can actually have a reference point to our balance in our lives. Because who knows, if we use the world's level of balance and we try and apply ourselves to that, we're going to be out of balance before we even start what we're doing. So I gave some homework as well to write down some things, write down the priorities you have in your life, and then write down how your week actually looks and how you actually spend your time, and to put those together and see if they actually meet up. And I've heard from other people that there's this amazing thing called bullet journaling that really does that. So I'm not going to talk about it. Just Google it, bullet journaling, if you like an analog way of keeping your life in order. But I'm more of a digital guy when it comes to that. So that works as well. So tonight, we want to take it a step further. And I'm going to put the golf club down before I hit myself in the head again. Like last week. Safe. Safe there. Ooh, windy. Graham doesn't really walk that much with this mic on, does he? To get the wind. Anyway. So it's one thing to talk about something, yeah? It's another thing to actually put it into practice. And how many times, I don't know if you would agree, but I know I've been to church and I've heard messages and I sit there and I amen and I think, man, that is so good. And then I get home and I have lunch and life goes on after that. And it can happen so much. We are fed so much good food a lot of the time. And at the end of the day, we don't actually do anything with it. Life moves on, we get busy, we forget, and we move on to the next inspiring word, and we go, yes, that was great, I'm going to do something about that. And life moves on. We are creatures of habit, which is why the saying goes, we can go through the... Come on, church. We can go through the... Go through the motions. Going through the motions. Going through emotions. And I know that when we say that, that can be a little bit negative, and we can think about that in a negative context, but going through the motions is only negative if you're going through the wrong motions. Am I right? Like, there are good habits, there are good motions to go through. Motions, Anna's laughing at motions, aren't you? There are good motions to go through in our lives and to keep doing. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. So tonight, I've titled my message, thanks, Cass, Willing and Able to Change. Willing and able to change. That background picture has nothing to do with the message, but I was sitting there with Olive and she's like, Daddy, that's a nice pink one. Put that one up. So we have that beautiful background picture. So the focus in our life, when I talk about change, it's not really the circumstantial change. It's not the change that we find ourselves in because of life and how it happens, but it's the change that we can make, the change that every single one of us can make, a conscious decision. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans 12, if you've got them. Romans 12, and we're going to do verses 1 to 2. And I like to use this as our key scripture for tonight. I've got it up here if you haven't, but it's great to turn in your Bibles as well. Aaron Davidson has spoke a great message on this last year. And if you're interested in it in more detail, he looked at it in depth. So I encourage you to grab that off the website. But I just want to use this as a bit of a springboard to what I believe God is trying to get across to us tonight. That as we allow our lives to be continually transformed, that the ultimate purpose behind that is that He is glorified in an even greater way. And that's what this is all about. Being obedient to Him, giving ourselves room to be able to grow in our relationships with God. So let's read it. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will hear, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I started, I suppose, a journey, you could sort of call it, in what I'm going to talk about tonight, a couple of months ago, and I listened to a series of messages called The Life You Get Stuck With. The Life You Get Stuck With. It was sort of a New Year's message, and you can hear messages, and we talk about it a little bit when it comes to New Year's resolutions, and for some reason, that seems to be a good time for us to go, all right, well, there's some bad habits that I've gone to, and I want to finish up on those, and I want to put some good things in place in the new year. But it wasn't quite that. You know, we think about eating habits and we think about sleeping habits. We think about it's really largely healthy. You know, we're trying to get more healthy out of a lot of these things. And I know I've tried in the past, but it hasn't, probably like a few people, it hasn't worked for very long. We can sometimes get a good thing going for a short amount of time, but it doesn't end up going anywhere. But the challenge was put out in this message, which really hit home with me. Who do you want to be in 5 years? It wasn't just, here's a New Year's resolution, what do you want to change in your life? It was, who do you want to be in 5 years? So if you just think about, take your age, right? Take your age at the moment, whatever it is, and add 5 years to it. That might be scary for some people. 5 years, it's not a long time, but 5 years is enough. So I'm 34, so I'll be 39. 39, I'm a kid. These guys, like, I'm old as. 39, I'll be 39 in 5 years, and it's coming whether we like it or not, you know? So the challenge was, thanks, who do you want to be in 2023? Because that's 5 years. Who do you want to be in 2023? And it is coming. And 5 years is a really good chunk of time to actually consider this. It's not too short and it's not too long. But it's a good sort of chunk of time for us to see something significant happen in our lives, no matter what your stage in life is, no matter whether you're a teenager, no matter whether you're a senior, no matter. If you started uni this year, you will have finished your course by then and hopefully have a job in 5 years' time. If you just had a baby now, that child would be in four-year-old kinder, almost ready to go in school in 5 years. Perhaps you'd like to take up a sport like golf. You could never have picked up a golf club in your life. Pick it up today. What's that? 15.8 handicap. 15. You could have a handicap of 15.8. Does that make sense to anybody? It means you could be a quite decent golfer in 5 years' time if you put your time and effort into it. You could be a good golfer in 5 years' time. Wow, Graham, a good golfer in 5 years' time. No, maybe not. You could decide to do... It wouldn't happen, Hamish, if we're honest, it wouldn't happen. You could decide to make a complete career change and do that in the space of 5 years. Or, on the other side of the coin, I looked this up. You could, and I know I'm giving Netflix a bit of a bad run at the moment, but you could have watched enough Netflix based on the average watching to take up 120 days of your time, which is one third of a whole year. One third of a whole year out of that five, you could spend watching Netflix. Last year, we, the world, spent an average of 1 billion hours per week watching Netflix. And that's just Netflix. I don't know, like that when I read that, I was like, man, what could we do if we redeemed 1 billion hours a week and put it into something that's not watching shows? I don't know. Anyway, something for us to all think about. You could be in a completely different place by the choices you make regarding your friendship groups today. You could be in a completely different place, good or bad. Though I think the scariest thing to think about is that in 5 years' time, we could be exactly where we are right now. And I think that's a scary and sobering thought sometimes. If you're really happy with where things are at, then great. But if we don't change our trajectory in some way, or if we don't increase our capacity, we're moving in a straight line and we're just going to continue moving, even if it's the direction you don't want to be in at the moment. If you're moving in a direction right now and you don't like that direction, then in 5 years' time you're going to be at the same spot or even worse down that road if something doesn't change. So tonight I'm inviting you to step into the next stage of your life tonight and open your eyes to what God can do in and through your life. As I was thinking about this, I was wondering what stops us? What stops us from changing? Because we can think about balance and we can think about the different areas of our lives. But if it was easy, then we all would have changed everything about our lives to what we wanted them to be immediately, and it would have happened already. But I think we're living in a day and age where the question is not, can I? Because in large, we can. There is so much resource, there's so much available to us. You can learn a language in, I don't know how long, but you can be fluent in 5 years. You can do whatever you want. It's all available to us. But that's not the question. The question is, am I willing to make a sacrifice now in order to be where I want to be in 5 years' time? That's what it comes back to. Am I willing to make the necessary sacrifices now to be where I want to be in that amount of time? Am I willing to give up this in my life, the wrong motions, even if it brings me pleasure today, in order to have time to sow the right seed and water the seed and care for the seed that it may grow over time into an amazing plant that will bear fruit? Let's flick over to Matthew, if you got it there. Matthew 19, 16 to 22. We're going to read this about the rich young ruler. And he asked a great question. So in verse 16, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but the one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He goes on. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus then goes on to talk about how much harder it is for a rich man to enter heaven due to the fact that there is so much easier for us to trust in what we have and our possessions and what we can do than the poor man who is fully reliant on God, both in the natural and the spiritual. This man had his sights set on the future, on eternal life and what is to come. And for a young man, I think that's quite a wise thing to be considering so far down the track. But as Jesus spoke and challenged him on his possessions, the thought of giving up the comfort of now, giving up the things of now in order to gain something in the future was just too hard. And man, it's hard for us in such an instant society. We want everything as soon as we press a button. So it leads me to think about a couple of things. And if you're writing stuff down, I've got a couple of points that I want you to remember here regarding change, seeing change in our lives. Number one thing that we need to remember, thanks Cass, is that lasting change always takes time. Lasting change always takes time. The Word of God is so clear when it comes to this, as we've learned over the past few weeks in church. And it's no surprise how often this scripture is coming up. God is speaking to us at the moment, Galatians 6 and 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And apart from what we're actually sowing into the ground here, the important thing to realize is that there's time in this. Pastor Graham spoke a few weeks ago about this scripture. And his last point was this, and I love it. We reap in a different time than we sow. That is, if we can get that and we can understand that, then man, it helps us to make good decisions now, because we understand that that good decision that we make right now, it may not show up tomorrow, but it is going to show up. Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. The habits that we plant in the ground today, they will not always give it up tomorrow. They will not always bring the fruit tomorrow. It takes time. But the principle of sowing and reaping will always remain true. As will the fact that if you plant apple seeds, you won't get tomatoes. If you plant apple seeds every day, they won't give you tomatoes. Because tomatoes are bad. That's why I'm using tomatoes. Apple seeds, tomatoes. Apple seeds, tomatoes. Apple seeds will not give you tomatoes. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. Great. And you can even take that a step further. And we see in Matthew 7 that Jesus talks about knowing people by their fruit and explains that a bad tree cannot bear good fruit in the same way that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. There is no doubt that reading one verse on any given day, you can pull your Bible out, you can read one verse, and you have never read your Bible in a year, and that can be a catalyst for change in your life. However, the lasting change that we're after takes time in the ground. Lasting change always takes time. These next two points that I've got, understanding these blew my mind and have helped me to change some areas of my life in recent times. You know, because we want to have lasting change. Flash in the pan change isn't what we're after. We just don't want to be, oh, this quick change and then we're back to normal in a couple of weeks' time. We want it to be lasting. And so I need a helper. Seeing as Jacob helped me out so great last time, Jacob, would you mind helping me out again? Come on, everyone, give Jacob a hand. Come on. Jacob, thanks, mate. I haven't got weights tonight, but I've got something else that you can do. So there's a stack of paper over there. What I want you to do, just wait here. What I want you to do is head over there and grab one piece of paper. I want you to put it on the ground here. And I want you to just create a stack, one piece at a time, all right? And we'll just see how big your stack can get over this short amount of time. Yeah, so leave the paper over there. That's it. Come on, mate, do some cardio. Leave the paper there, one piece, and then go back and get another piece and start stacking them up, all right? Thanks, Jacob. Now, as he's doing that, let's read Romans 12, 1 to 2 again. We're going to read it in the Message version here. So he's doing a great job, but concentrate. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, my emphasis put on there, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. And before we read it in the New King James Version, it talked about our bodies being living sacrifices. Did you cheat? Are you cheating, Jacob? Yeah, stack it neat. Stack it as neat as you can. So here's the power of this principle of everyday offering. That's what I highlighted with everyday. Everyday offering this to God. Because we see this one piece of paper. Give me one of those. Sorry, mate. Keep going. One piece of paper. And we think, man, by itself, that's not much. That's not much. It's not very thick. It's not going to make a very big tower out of this paper, we think. But, and let's fast forward in time. All right, stop doing that for a second. Here you go. Help me out with this. This might be a bit easier for you. So I want you to grab all these out, stack them up there. Nah, don't open them, please. Please don't open them. So chuck them over there. Where did I get them? From the paper shop? They do exist. So these have 500 sheets in each. For the sake of the podcast, we're moving reams of paper. 500 sheets. Thanks, man. You grab that last one for us. And we see this stack growing. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, man. You can sit down now. Thanks a lot. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Jacob. So it's important to realize, and here's what I want you to get out of this. It's important to realize that day by day, we put a piece of paper on top of our stack. One by one by one by one. And if we focus on the stack at the start, it's very easy for us to go, man, like, what is it really doing? What is this really doing for me? Like, I read my Bible. I've read it for 3 days in a row. Like, what is it really doing? You know? But the principle I want to get is that we don't go from going, yes, I want to commit to reading my Bible every day, to knowing everything or being great in the Word of God from one day to the next. Yeah? This represents the next 5 years of your life if we commit to making a change, a daily change to reading the Word of God. And that's where I think that we get discouraged sometimes because it's like, man, it's just not much. But the second point I've got here is, thanks, Cass, is little plus little plus little eventually equals a lot. It does. And how great is that? That we know that the Bible is not... Is that going to sit? Is that going to stay? Is that all right, Hamish? I need to put some stuff in the ground and reinforce it. That little by little equals a lot. And if we are committed over the next 5 years, whatever you put your mind to, little by little is going to eventually equal a lot. Yeah? Is that all right? Often I would find myself going to a conference and hearing a message and being inspired and expecting I could go back and I would expect to go from this to this in the space of like 2 weeks, which is so unrealistic. And you know what the problem with that expectation is? That we fail at that. That every time we look and we after 3 days or a week or 2 weeks, we go, oh man, my stack is just no good. we get disappointed. So understand that little by little, we'll eventually equal a lot. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One bite at a time. And the only way we get in trouble is we bite off more than we can chew. And Chris prayed this out the back, and as I was preparing this and just revising it today, I was thinking maybe you're at that point tonight and you've tried this so many times and you've started stacking your paper, you've started day by day, and then you're like, man, it's just not working, it's just not getting me where I want to be. And so what do? We're like, well, I'm done with that. And we go back and we get inspired again. And we're like, yes, I've got my little... And then we get disappointed. It's not getting where we were. And we finish up and we don't do it anymore. We get disappointed. And I don't know if that's you tonight, but you might have come along and you think, man, Andy, I have tried so hard to change. There is this area in my life, and it could be you really trying to commit to reading the Bible. Like, this is a lot what this is about, man. You might have tried so many times and it just hasn't stuck and you're disappointed, like, man, I can't do this. I just can't do it. Or there might be something in your life. There might be an addiction. There might be a habit that you've fallen into. There might be something. And you've tried to kick this and you've tried to say, Andy, I've tried so many times, but I've never been able to break through. And I believe the Holy Spirit has said to me that I think there's someone here or a few people here tonight, and that is you. And I want you to hear this tonight, that little by little, our God is faithful to see you through and to see change in your life. And I believe tonight that this night can be a catalyst for breakthrough in your life. Absolutely believe it as we put some of these principles in action in our lives. For it's not by might, no, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen? Amen. Bite-sized chunks. And if you want to say, all right, look, I'm serious about reading the Bible, don't go expecting to read yourself, you know, a book every 3 days, a whole book of the Bible every 3 days. Bite-sized chunks means that you enter into it with a realistic goal of saying, yeah, look, I'm going to read 5 verses tonight. I'm going to read one chapter tonight, and then I'm going to read one chapter tomorrow. And then on Tuesday, I'm going to read another chapter. 5 minutes a day. Who do you want to be in 2023? Point three ties in with this a little. Thanks, Cass. And it's compact but consistent. The change we make needs to be compact so that we can actually achieve them, but consistent over a long period of time. That is the way to change. Sometimes when we're in the process of change, if you want to change the way you eat, say you're like, man, I'm turning over a new leaf and I want to just get rid of the junk food. What do? You rid your house of the food that you don't want to actually eat. That's a drastic measure. If you want to say, I want to eat healthy, we go home, we give it to our neighbors, or we throw it in the bin, or we do whatever we want. And that is drastic action. But what actually continues that on? Because we've done the drastic action, we've got rid of our food. It's every time you go to the shops, it's actually not buying the same stuff to refill your shelves again. It's continually, it's just a little thing, but consistently over time, and we will see long-lasting change. I heard this great quote. You can write it down if you got it. Victory isn't one huge thing, then defeated. It's a small thing, constantly repeated. Victory isn't one huge thing, then defeated. It's a small thing, constantly repeated. I was playing basketball with my son Judah the other day. We were playing down in the backyard. And we set out some rules, and the goal was, all right, first to 100 points. And the way we sort of roll it out is that Daddy gets like a shot from like over the other side of the room, and that's a 100-point shot for me, and his is like from here to there, 100-point shot. And so it's first to 100 points. And so we set it up, and we were playing, and I had these massive shots, and I was throwing them up. And they were missing, and the ball was going everywhere. I was sick of running after the ball, so I thought, nah, this is not the way to do it. And so I just stood under the ring, one by one by one by one. And Judah was slowly going, all right, that's a 100-point shot. What about this one? Is this a 50-point shot now? And is this a 20-point shot? So often we're going for the big 100-point. Quick, one and done, I'm there. But that consistency, the consistency, the small consistency, the compact but consistent is the way we get to the goal. Yeah? Ongoing consistency is much more important than short-term intensity. I love that. Ongoing consistency is much more important than short-term intensity. When it comes to setting habit patterns, which is really what we're talking about here tonight, the experts say that whatever you do, don't skip twice. One, it's going to happen. We're going to miss out. But two, if you skip twice, it's habit suicide. I'm not an expert on this and I'm not perfect with my habits, but man, it excites me, the glimpse that I've had in setting up good habit patterns in my life, to continue to allow God to grow me and continue to allow God to use me in ways that I haven't been able to be used in the past. I'm excited about that. I'm excited for you as well. So our change needs to be compact but consistent. This one as well, point number four, Cass, thanks, is to keep score. Keep score. This is powerful. This is life-changing. When Aaron preached last year on this verse from Romans 12, he spoke about the process of conforming to the patterns of this world and the way that happens by allowing little bit by little bit these little areas to come into our life. Chris spoke a message years before that about the wedge, and you knock this wedge in it and it opens it up little by little. But he read a quote from C.S. Lewis. It says, indeed, thanks, I think it's up there. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. The gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. And as I read that again today, sometimes we don't know how far we've gone down that road because there haven't been any signposts to tell us. And before we know it, we haven't just gone from 1 mile down the road to 100 miles down the road. It's been step by step. Step by step. It's a gradual one. It's a gentle slope. But without the signposts, man, we are there before we know it. But the intensity of a game, if you ever watch any sport, which I'm sure we all have, it always, when you see the intensity rise, you know it's gone from practice to a real game. Because there is scoring. There's something to play for. This quote is really cool as well. Bowling through a curtain might be fun in the beginning, but if you can't see the pins fall, it will soon become boring, even if you really love bowling. A lot of people here probably hate bowling, but anyway, if bowling through a curtain, you can't keep score because you can't see the pins falling. And no matter how much you love bowling, if you can't see the pins fall, you're going to have had enough pretty soon. And it's the same thing with setting up our habit patterns and setting up good things and putting change into our lives. Keeping score so helps with this. Grab a calendar. If daily devotions is something you want to change, if that's a consistency you want to have in your life, grab yourself a calendar and put a big tick on every day that you do and put a big cross on every day you don't. I've started doing this with a few things in my life. Like if you want to steer clear of junk food or all those sorts of things. And I find myself sitting there going, oh man, I want to go out and get some junk food today. But I don't want to have to get my phone out and enter in the fact that I went and ate it. And what it does, it just helps me stay back. And I'm like, all right, great. Well, I'll have something else to eat. Just a little thing like that. Keeping score. Keeping score on how you're doing. It's as simple as marking it in a calendar, but it can make a huge difference to assisting us in setting up good change in our lives. Ongoing consistency is much more important than short-term intensity. So this is my last point for tonight. And if you want to read about someone that had drastic change in their life, they made a drastic change to continue on, we're going to go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings in 19. Well, I'm not going to read it, so you don't have to. But it's about Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah, the prophet, walks along and he grabs his cloak and he throws it over Elisha, pretty much saying, hey, man, you're the guy. I want you to come and follow me. And at that point, Elisha is plowing in his field. He's got his oxen, he's got his plow, and it's all going swell for him. And then this moment happens in his life. I don't know, you might be having that moment right now. You may have had that moment happened in his life where God's calling came. And the thing that Elisha did is he didn't just say, all right, sweet, let's go. We're done. He actually took his oxen, killed them, just kids here, killed them, took the plow, made a fire, burnt it, fed it to everyone, kissed his parents and said, all right, that's it, I'm done. Talk about drastic action. Talk about not being able to go back to what you were doing when the calling of God comes upon your life. That's drastic change. Drastic change. He leaves behind the past and presses on with his calling. My final point tonight is, number 5, thanks Cass, fix your attention on him. All of these things are great. They're great ways of putting change into your life. But number 1 thing that we need to do is fix our attention on him. We read it in Romans 12. It's the second part of that verse. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. As we begin to allow God to work on the inside of us, some of this stuff, the day by day, some of this stuff, it'll become so enjoyable as God continues to work in us and our outward actions just come out of what God is doing on the inside of us. The love that we show, you might want to be a nicer person to people. You might want to love people in a better way. There is a decision to make about that. But man, when God is working inside of you, how can you deny that? How can you stop that from happening? Readily recognize what he wants you to do and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So all of these tools are great, all these things that we've talked about. But if our focus and our attention is not fixed on God, then we do them in vain. We waste our time again. The change that we make could throw us off course instead of pursuing, making us go forward into what God has for us. The best intention rather than with obedience. Best intentions are great, but man, obedience is way better. So just quickly, let's review. Thanks, Cass. So we had lasting change always takes time. Little plus little eventually equals a lot. They've got to be compact but consistent changes. Keeping score is a great way to see them come to pass. But overall, we need to fix our attention on God. So it all begins, and like, church, let's just close our eyes as we finish up tonight. I don't know how God's been speaking to you tonight. But as I said earlier, there might be some changes in your life that really need to happen. Maybe you've tried so many times in the past and you haven't seen breakthrough. Well, it all starts with a simple, small statement. God, I surrender. God, I acknowledge that I can't do this on my own. And you might be sitting here tonight and we've all got our eyes closed and we're not looking around. And we talk about this stuff and we talk about God and Jesus and maybe you don't know him tonight. Or maybe you've walked away and you're finding your way back. Well, I invite you back into the family of God tonight. If that's you and you want to say, Andy, I acknowledge that I can't do this by myself. I want to put Jesus first in my life again. Why don't you just throw up your hand really quickly? I'd love to pray with you after the service. Is anyone here? Yeah, if that's you, I would love to chat to you afterwards. I'd love to pray with you. Because God is here for you. But maybe you're here tonight and you're in that second category and you're like, Andy, I have tried so many times and I have failed and I'm sick of failing. That's why I don't even try again, because I don't want to fail again. And that can be in any area of your life, good or bad. I'm going to pray for all of us tonight who are in that category. If that's you, why don't you just throw up your hand quickly? You've acknowledged that. Man, I've tried and I'm... Thanks, guys. That's great. That's great. That's awesome. That's great, guys. Thank you. And I'm going to pray for us and everyone else here that tonight is going to be that night, a catalyst for breakthrough in our lives as we commit to putting some of these things into practice in our life. And we understand that even as a couple of weeks ago we spoke about imbalance, when one thing comes on the top, something has to go off the bottom. And so as you make these changes tonight, know that as we put something on the top, something has to come off the bottom. Something always has to give. Let's pray, church. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we get to live this life with you, Lord God, leading and guiding us. And Father, I pray for all those people who raised their hands tonight, and even those who just raised their hands, you know, in their hearts tonight, they wanted to put them up, but they didn't. Lord God, for each one of those people, for me included, Lord God, I just pray that as we commit to making these changes that you have challenged us to make, Lord God, that we would know that no matter how many times we have failed in the past, Father God, you have the strength to see us through in the future. Father God, we do not need to rely on our own strength to do these things, Lord God, but it is in our weakness that you are made strong. So, Father, our prayer is that you would be glorified as we make these changes in our lives. That, Father, that you would come in and that we would see other people's lives changed by the way you are continually changing us. Father, none of us sitting here tonight are finished works, but we want to continually be molded by you to be more like your Son. So, Father, tonight we make a commitment. And we say, Lord God, when you have challenged us, no matter what it may be, whether it's something we need to delete out of our lives, or whether it's something we need to add into our lives, Father, we commit to making the change necessary as you have called us to do. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you continue to do in our lives. We pray that you would just continue to open our eyes to what you're doing in and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.